Hard Drive DL is brought to you by Discover. Visit them at discover.com.
You're listening to Hard Drive DL, available at harddriveradio.com or download the Hard Drive Radio mobile app.
Hey everyone, Paulie here from Hard Drive Radio. Delighted to be joined in the studio now by Ron DeChant and Dustin Bates of Starset. Guys, thank you very much for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
What's up, Paul?
I'm really, really happy. I'm still kind of riding high from the show last night. So first of all, I got to say thank you for that. I think you guys kicked ass, as you always do.
Thanks, man.
You got it. It's a crazy big tour that you guys have lined up. This is another headlining tour for you guys. And you're going pretty much nonstop for the next 3 months. That's got to feel good.
It keeps piling on. So, yeah, it's going to be a long one.
Yeah, I think it's almost 40 dates in North America, then 10 in Europe and 4 in UK, some Russia, some Eastern European, all headlined. So
that's awesome. I mean, I think you guys have been to Europe and Russia already, so that's not new for you. But to be there on such a headline tour, and I think I saw like one of the dates in Spain is like sold out already.
Milan, we have a crush there. We're like the Italian Beatles. I don't know. Or something. But we've actually sold out some others as well. And it's looking like most of that entire tour is going to sell out. So we're trying to get bigger venues and things like that. It's exciting.
I mean, I've seen you guys play in some small places now. Are the stages getting bigger? Are you guys able to bring more stuff with you as you go?
Yeah. Even, you know, what you saw last night, which was our cubes, they're... is 7 feet by 9 feet of super high def LED wall on either side. In addition to what you saw, it's when it's all up, it's over 30 feet of video by eight to 10 feet of video tall. It's crazy.
There's a lot of new production you guys have brought with you. Fans who have seen the show before remember the cube that Adam was in, and it's really expanded now. Did you guys have to, like, you know, take apart the old cube and kind of recycle those pieces and just add to it? Is that how it went?
Yeah, exactly. Like, precisely. Yep. One of the things we learned was that the geometry of the initial cube design was not optimized. We wanted more Z direction, as it were, so that you could have a more of a three-dimensional experience, similar to, like, IMAX or something. Before it was almost like a giant TV screen with sides. Now it's... Almost half of a hexagon, and that allows for more three-dimensional space. But yes, some of the panels were repurposed out of necessity. Each of those panels is, I don't even want to say how much they cost because people will start just like, we'll get like robbed on stage for plastic panels.
And that's why we make the hands wear white gloves. No, I'm just kidding.
For your crew guys, how many guys are you bringing with you on the road now, and how long does it take to set up this elaborate setup you've got?
Probably the first tour we've ever had about as much crew as the band. It's pretty cool though, because we've got an awesome production crew now, and it actually doesn't take, you know, maybe a couple hours to set that whole thing up. We set up the full production in Worcester 2 nights ago, and it was pretty cool to see how quickly it went up.
I overheard our tour manager tell the crew first time they can get it set up in under 3 hours, he's buying them Starbucks, which is a small token. But yeah, so I think they're hovering at just over 3 hours to set it up.
We got to hang out a little bit at the venue last night because I think you guys are doing some post-show signings. So I was watching them, you know, tear it down, just see like how many pieces there are, and it's a lot of stuff. I mean, how many pounds of like just stage gear are you guys bringing on the road with you now?
Two full trailers. I'm not actually sure. We're probably overweight. Don't tell anybody that.
we had to move into two trailers, which meant two buses, which is so more room in that regard. But we're doing everything just like we always have, a little bit further along than we're supposed to at our size. You know, our show is more of a large theater show, and our crew is more of a, you know, if you got paid twice as much as we get paid kind of crew.
Yep.
Same thing with the production. But most of that stuff was built in my living room. Coincidentally, I designed with Ron. Ron would come over and it'd be halfway along on some weird thing, and he'd come help. It'd be awesome. just out of just various cardboard mock-ups, and then we turned it, sort of cycled into more legit production. It was even mostly built there, and kind of weird living room I have.
I imagine your place just has like a big garage workshop in the back where you can just do all sorts of mad scientist
stuff. It's probably the end goal, right? Yeah. It kind of turned into just a chaotic living room, but yeah.
But yeah, so I live in
tall ceilings and all that. Yeah.
Like a, it actually was a Wonder Bread factory, and it's been turned into a like post-industrial mixed material apartment, and super high ceilings with and brick floors, so it actually works out for a mad scientist lab living room.
Besides the hardware that goes into your show, there's so many visuals. How long does it take? Because, you know, each song has its own visuals. It's not like you guys recycle anything. You don't see anything repeated during the show. How long does it take just to get the visuals set up for each song in your set list?
A long time. A lot of that process started a while ago, and we're always trying to improve it. I had four or five different content creators, and I still, as this tour goes on, it'll still improve and still change. I just get an idea and I hire it out one song at a time. And so, as always, time, money, and quality, that triangle that is out there. So sometimes it costs a lot, sometimes you have to have a lot of time. And some of them we can get out in a couple weeks, others it's taken a few weeks. But the way that we were able to do it is dividing and conquering, finding multiple content creators and racking brains to come up with ideas.
There are, I think, maybe five or six new songs in your set list for this run. When you guys put together a set list, you're now drawing from two albums worth of material, and these are big albums, so you got a lot of songs already. Most bands, when they're choosing their set lists, you know, they want to play the hits, they want to play some audience favorites and some of their favorites. But because you guys have this extra visual aspect, have you ever had to, like, cut a song from your set list just because the visuals weren't ready?
Probably the opposite on one of them, right?
Well, it was the opposite, and then it wasn't the opposite.
Right.
Someone, one of our friends was like, hey, I'm doing visuals for this song. And we're like, it's not in the set
list. We weren't even practicing that song.
Okay, guys, add that
to rehearsal. It was Unbecoming, which I'm loving playing.
Yeah.
Then the video never came through, so we had to get it somewhere else. But the opposite actually has happened. But other than that, I think, it's really cool to have a record where there isn't a song where I'm like, oh, why did I write this? Other than maybe My Demons. No, I'm just kidding. So it's cool to be able to draw from, even though there's only two records, it feels like there's a pretty deep well of stuff to draw from.
Has My Demons already become your Stairway to Heaven? Are you guys just like done with that?
It's our Cumbersome. I always thought of that like Seven Mary Three. It's like I don't want to just have a Cumbersome. So no, I think we've successfully. Obviously Zeppelin had tons of hits, so I would never equate it to Stairway to Heaven because it's like Stairway to not even remotely Stairway to Heaven.
Well, I meant like not in terms of, you know, just
pure
being one of the
amazingness.
Favorites. Yes, but in the terms of like they're sick of playing it.
I'm sure they, yeah.
I don't know.
No, because you have like nights like last night, people were just insane. The whole show, the entire show, people were insane. It was like, what? So cool. Yeah. Didn't expect that out of New York. New York City is, you know, kind of spoiled when it comes to entertainment. Everybody comes here. You can see anybody here. And so you get a little jaded, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
It was really, really cool. I was like, man, this is becoming a community. And so, anyways, people lose it to My Demons, and we get just as amped up as we ever have.
Yep.
I think that was the first time I saw Pitt at a Star Set show in New York. Like, I've never seen people go nuts like that before. It was awesome. So, I mean, for me, like, standing there, I was like, this is pretty crazy. I can't imagine the feeling you guys had.
There's
on stage.
There's some heavier songs mid-set, so it is cool to see that, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I think the only time we've ever seen that is festivals, and that's usually hit or miss, especially during the day.
I mean, the only the two festivals I've seen you guys at is Rock on the Range, which is kind of a hometown show for you guys, so yeah. Of course there's huge crowds. And then last fall at Rock Allegiance outside of Philly. Mm-hmm.
That was a fun show.
Oh, that was a damn good time.
Stage was a nightmare, but that was a fun show.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know, like, to watch the crowd or to watch you guys working. I know you were running back and forth constantly. There was
a lot
happening.
Going on to yeah. get on that little stage.
Yeah. Is that the wait? That which was, one was it? The Philly one?
Yeah.
I was pissed at that one.
Yeah,
it was things our cube on stage.
No, just
that was nuts.
That
man.
One was crazy. Yeah. I was like, why are you doing that? Yeah, we now have a much more methodic crew.
Good. Actually, I do want to ask about just maneuvering on the stage, because now that there's so much there, and I feel like you guys are using every square inch you can. And especially last night, I was watching the interaction between the two of you, and it's like, it seems like, Ron, you're kind of standing there on the side, and you're over there by the keyboards, so you have, the space you can move around in, and then Dustin, sometimes you have to go behind him, and it seemed like, I don't know if you guys have a signal, or if you're just that well rehearsed, you were never, in the way.
No, I know when he's coming by, because I have good peripheral, but I think there's, we didn't...
I've yelled at him enough, too. we've had years of, dude, what are you doing?
We definitely didn't have the stage space last night with lanes. Brock and I have a lot more choreography that makes a lot more sense when we have room. Yes, last night I was kind of standing in one place.
It doesn't look like last night.
No.
That's the smallest stage mm-hmm. we've been on, and probably one of the smaller ones of this whole tour. Once you get the LEDs in, there's, like Ron said, lanes, and it's all planned out, and it all works. Yesterday, it was just like...
Hope for the best.
Make it happen.
Yeah.
So for a rehearsal for you guys, when you're going on tour, you got to kind of warm up and you play a couple, gigs in your garage or wherever you rehearse. How much of that is just going through the songs, and how much of that is figuring out who's standing where?
Brock and I set up risers and did some of that on our own, but most of the rehearsal is probably, I'd say, more music oriented, at least when everyone's together.
Yep.
So.
And then we have, this time around, we rented the Newport Music Hall in Columbus for 3 days to simultaneously have sort of a lighting pre-production, stage pre-production, and band rehearsal, and it really helped out. We could have used two phases of it, so next time maybe we'll do that. It's expensive, but it's totally worth it. We're really trying to take it to the next level, and that type of stuff helps.
There was a great duo of songs in the middle of the set where you guys just kind of went full stripped down, almost acoustic for what you guys do. Mm-hmm. And I just want to ask, what was the motivation? Because the two songs that you guys played was it Telepathic and Starlight?
Yeah.
So, why take those songs from that angle instead of how they were on the album, and just what went into figuring it out?
I guess it's two different reasons for the two songs. For Telepathic, it was fun to reimagine it as acoustic, even though when it was maybe our most pop-driven and electronically-driven songs on the record. And for Starlight, it just was trying to amp up the emotion that's already in that song and just put it on full display. The lyrics are right there. Also wanted a sort of, for the show itself, a dynamic where it just really breathed for a moment, and also in addition, having the string players there behind cubes most of the show, having them way out front and in your face. And then, as you said, it's acoustic. There are no tracks. People see us, and some people see all that technology and they're like, oh, they equate it to some sort of pop group that's all everybody's lip syncing and faking their instruments, and there is not a single track being played, and we just want to, show people, we can, it's that facet of our band.
I would say anyone who would think that you guys are faking it are kind of ignorant of the effort going into it, because if you look at the amount of gear you have on stage, Ron, you're there, you got your bass, you're also playing keyboards. Dustin, you're literally dual wielding microphones. Like, that's a lot of effort to go into faking it, right?
Yeah, totally.
It's like it would just be easier just to stand there with one mic and lip sync.
It
like,
is funny when we hear that though, because if someone says that we're lip syncing, it's a compliment.
Yeah, it's a huge
we're
compliment.
Like, wow, all right, because we're singing those harmonies and playing those instruments exactly that, and there's nothing behind it other than obviously what you know the elements of Starset that should be there. So.
Sure. I mean, you know, if people can get in close and look at you and Brock, mm-hmm. you know, you guys have your Britney Spears headsets there. Mm-hmm. It's not like you're just standing there playing, too. You're singing as well.
Nope.
Like, you know, Brock's over there screaming his freaking face off. It's like, it's a lot of effort to fake that. It seems just the more plausible excuse to be like, no, these guys are actually busting their asses out there. So.
The best thing I saw was when someone said, he's faking the drums. I think the cube threw them off. So yes. One of the reasons we have the drum cube is whenever Adam's not playing, and it's electronic drums, which we actually utilize for our sound, he disappears behind a wall, and there's projection mapping, and then he appears when he's actually drumming, and I think that just threw someone off, and they're like, fake drums.
I definitely enjoy watching Adam stab his cymbals. That's a very strange technique.
Yeah, very weird.
It's a good time.
I get to watch more of him now because the piano is now side staged a little bit, so I see some of the weird things that he does, and it kind of makes me laugh.
And actually, I think at one point of the show, you were back there too, just like hanging out with him.
Yeah, Ricochet sneak back there. Some days the stage goes dark before the second verse, and I get back behind the cube, and then there's a lot of maneuvering to get back there, and some days I forget to plan that out, and it's terrifying.
You gotta like sit there and jump over cords.
Yesterday must have been a couple hops. You had to like jump over two cubes or something to get over there.
It was weird.
more hardware you guys are bringing on the road. You know, you've been traveling with a cello player and a violin player now for a bunch of tours, and now I just noticed they have their own visors with lights on them too. So it really kind of just brings it all into collective aspect. How much gear are you guys like manufacturing on your own at this point?
Oh, that was 100% manufactured.
Yep.
I did all of the electronics. Ron did the little, I don't know, is this racist? I call him the little Asian lady because there was these little...
it's fish wire.
Like, yeah, literally. Fish lines that hold all of the...
LED stuff on there.
It's not LEDs, it's actually plasma.
Yeah.
Oh.
For those. There's actually... To get that work, there's little ballasts in the back, and it steps it up to almost 200 volts.
Every time, you know, I was trying to, especially when they were out front, I was trying to, like, just see every time they turn their head, like, what modules are strapped to the back to make it all work. It's like, are they, you know, they look lightweight. Are they? Are they heavy?
They're pretty lightweight.
Yeah. There's a lot going on in the back of it, for sure.
Yeah. They're computer controlled and everything.
Yeah.
It was funny. We were on the Shiprocked thing, and I was still building them in my deluxe cruise cabin with a balcony. It was electronics everywhere. And I left and they came to clean my room. I came back and my room's clean with a billion wires and soldering iron and components everywhere. I was like, they didn't bat an eye. Like, it looked like I was building a bomb.
I saw the picture of that too. And I was just like wondering, you know, if somebody comes in there, what would they think not knowing, you know, you? What the hell is this guy doing here with all these wires and stuff?
Is on vacation, supposedly.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a requirement for him to have a balcony as like a diva. He needed it for soldering.
Yeah.
Didn't
want to set the alarm off.
So part of the, you know, the technology that you guys are bringing with you on the stage is now kind of on the audience as well, because you now also have a Starset app that is part of the show. So tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so initially, we unveiled it yesterday, and the initial part is a visualizer where it's augmented reality at the top of the show. There's an experience with a rocket that hovers it hovers on the stage and then flies around the crowd above you and then takes off into the sky. And then for the rest of the show, there is a constellation in the ceiling. You know, so if you're watching the show through your phone in what we call Starset reality, and you look up, so you see the band on the stage, you look up, there's a constellation the entire show. There's planets in the star system, and it's pretty cool. We've also been working for about 7 months on the other part, which is coming out soon, of Starset Reality, which we're going to continue to build upon. Whenever you're in there, you can record it and share it with your friends, but you can also, if you hold your phone over our record, the Tesseract element that's in the cover grows out of it, and you can put your phone inside of that Tesseract, and there's a planetary system in that infinite space that appears. Or anybody's face has a helmet on it with a heads-up display. But we're going to be incorporating tons of stuff live as well in the demonstrations around the room as well. And even with our merch and our music videos and hopefully the novels. But yeah, there's... in addition, the actual app itself will live in a sort of immersive augmented reality experience. Our T-shirts will hover in front of you if you want to, you know, you want to check out our T-shirt. It's hovering on your desk, if you want to read an article, they actually are hovering in space and you're reading it like Minority Report. So that's all going to be happening. But yeah, for the time being, at the top of our shows, there's a nice, pretty cool experience there.
How does that, you know, how do you get that to sync with the show? I mean, is there, you know, a piece of equipment that's sending a signal out, or?
So some of the experiences in Starset Reality will be target based. The phone will see a target, recognize the target, know what experience is to be loaded, and then from that target can find the relative position and orientation from you to that target, and can then put that experience in the right contextual frame and sizing and lighting as well to make it feel real. That's how it works. For the show version, it uses time. There's a trick where there's a reason for it too, to make it a little more reliable. So it knows when we're going to play and where we're going to play and works from there.
Awesome. I find it very interesting that in an age where bands more and more are trying to ban people from bringing cell phones into their concerts, that you guys are just embracing it wholeheartedly and even adding mm-hmm. to the experience.
That's precisely, it's cool you picked up on that. That's been part of the discussion. Knowing that that's the trend, much like it falls in line with the Starset Society thing, understanding where things are going, being aware of it, and working within that rather than fighting it. And phones aren't going anywhere. People are going to film. So why not enhance the experience through the phone? When I watch someone filming and I know they're never going to even look at that per se, I go, okay, they're going to do that. How do we make it so they will look at it? How do we make it so they will share it? You know, the Donald Trump effect. I want them to share. You know, the Hillary Clinton effect is get an article in the New York Times. The Donald Trump effect is get your grandma to share some article, right? So, I don't even know what I'm talking about right now. But, you know, we want them, we might as well have people share a piece of our show with their friends. And so make that video something that's unique to the experience they had at the show.
Unfortunately, I was not able to get the app on my phone. I guess the model wasn't supported. But a friend of mine, she had her iPhone and was able to view it. So I thought it was very cool, and I was actually a little jealous that I couldn't get it. So
yeah, get with the times. No, there's a reason for that. There's a toolkit in the new 11 for Apple, iOS 11, I believe, yeah, right, that has the augmented reality stuff we need, and the Pixel has it, some of the new Pixel. Some of the Google phones and some of the Androids, but it's just like it's such a new technology that it's not supported with all phones yet.
Yet, yeah. Actually, speaking of toolkits, that's a good reminder. I was scrolling through the Facebook page for Starset, and, you know, your fans have always been very hands-on with your music, especially in making remixes and things like that, and you have now released a toolkit for fans to make remixes. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, tell me why would you put that out there? And I believe it's free. Yeah.
Yeah. It started, you know, the openness of everything started with allowing YouTube users to use our music, sometimes even in a gratis way, for their own content. We felt like with the cinematic sound, it's perfect. You know, people generate content on YouTube and they want a soundtrack. Well, we make soundtrack music. Let them use it, and that really, really took off. And it was fun for us to see what people created and helped spread the message. So it was beneficial to everybody. And then, why not expand that and allow people to remix with our music? I want to actually push that even further. I need to discuss that with the label. Thank you for reminding me.
You're welcome.
I like it when I like people to be able to not just remix and show us their reimaginings of the songs, but it's fun to allow people to hear the inner workings of the songs. And there are so many elements. And when I'm in the studio, I'm always like, man, I wish there was more space within this palette, this frequency palette, so that everybody could really, really hear all of this stuff, because there's so much. And when people remix and they get the stems, they can hear a lot more of that. And speaking of that, being able to hear that palette, I have plans for also allowing people to really experience the various layers. Need a little bit more time and a little bit more money, but it will also go in line with AR/VR that we're really focused on right now.
That's incredible. Are there plans to incorporate the Starset app and that altered reality into like the headsets that everyone's making now?
I've actually began initial discussions with some manufacturers of next level AR stuff. You know, Google Glass, but not weird. I wonder, what are they going to do something? Are they going to make like the next?
I don't know. I feel like they pretty much abandoned that project.
Yeah.
And it was cool. One of the guys who worked here had one of the test headsets, and I got to try it out. And it was a cool gimmick, but again, like, I didn't really see a practical use for it. But I think it was just more like a technology proof than really like a marketable.
Yeah. Item. It was a little too early.
Yeah.
You know, augmented reality is about to take off, and that now is the time where it would be great to have a transparent screen where you could truly augment the eye. So,
and I think, you know, it's funny because I was looking at the visors that the string section has on, and they look like the visors from the Monster video, mm-hmm. which is all about, you know, people walking around in this augmented reality thing. Like, are you working to bring that into reality? Is that what we're going to look like in a couple of years?
Well, augmented reality will continue to grow. I'm certain of that. I'm not, you know, the Monster video shows one way in which it potentially could go. There are other videos. I've probably written 30 music videos as ideas, and a couple of them kind of live in a future of where augmented reality is so innate that, you know, you have girls right now, for instance, who are famous for just showing their butts on Instagram. What does that look like when augmented reality comes to full fruition and, you know, they're sharing, oversharing video, like a visceral experience that you can then take their third person and make it your first person experience, and what happens there and what kind of drama ensues.
And I guess this all kind of ties back into the core concepts of Starset, which is, you know, understanding technology and how it changes our lives and maybe trying to make sure that that is in a good direction instead of a bad direction.
Yes, for sure. That augmented reality can be incredibly cool.
Let's talk a little reality, because I was perusing through Instagram the other day.
reality.
Man, I am too, I tell you. Some dark times we're living in. Ron, I saw you posted a picture of the bus, and there was definitely a lot of gaff tape on that mirror.
Oh, yesterday morning?
What happened?
Yeah, and, you know, it's New York, man. Two buses navigating tiny streets. Yeah, it was a nightmare morning. We were late. And I don't know what, I wasn't in that bus, but the driver called me, and he's like, yeah, we don't have a mirror anymore. I'm like, oh, cool. He caught the semi driver, I guess. He got his insurance. But, yeah, they ripped a bus mirror off our...
I guess
we had to tape it up, and man, that was cold, and we got it on there, and he made it out of the city to get it fixed, which was cool.
So. We also missed, we had some press yesterday.
Yeah, missed press.
I felt bad for that.
Yeah.
That was due to someone taking logistics into their own hands, I guess.
Literally.
A euphemistic way to put it. But yeah, so if you're a part of the AOL Builders thing,
sorry.
Very sorry. Not, yeah, I don't know if that's a competitor, but
no,
you can bleep that out.
Are they the guys who lent you the 360 camera for the last show you were
doing? No, that was YouTube.
Oh, that was YouTube. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they. It's amazing what people will give you when you make them a ton of money.
I would hope that it would be a lot. So, I mean, this tour is going through March. When do you go to Europe? You know, what's on the books for the rest of the year?
It's like 2 days after Columbus, which is the 16th of March. We fly over to the UK and start there. We're there until mid-April, and I think we're out through the spring, too. And some of it's announced, some of it's not. So, a lot going.
I think you guys had a little bit of time off for the end of the year, but is the goal pretty much to just work nonstop this year?
Yeah, it's looking like we're picking up some pretty big, almost some arena shows with a bigger package. I'm not sure what's public, though.
Yeah, I don't know.
A lot of it.
No.
And then we have plans for our own potentially headlined tour in the fall that is acoustic, but I don't even know if I should say that, but whatever, I don't care.
Well, we'll find out if it happens or not. If it does, then you heard it here first.
Yeah, so
it does,
like we're going to be out this entire year, so it's really cool that I just got a new apartment in Columbus that I'm never going to see.
You also have a new family member, too, yeah?
Yeah, Ernie.
Yeah.
Trying to make him more famous, so I'm glad you brought him up. Trying to make him more, like, I'm trying to make him the focus of everything to where I don't even have to come out to VIP. It's just Ernie signing everything with his paws. He has an Instagram. It's Silent But Ernie due to his SBD flatulence. He's a Frenchie, and he's awesome.
Is he on the road with you right now, or does he have to stay home? Oh, that's awesome.
Yay. Yep, one of our guys is babysitting him right now.
Yep.
I know Lou Brutus is going to be spending some time with you guys in the next few weeks. I'm sure the dog will be very popular. Lou loves dogs.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, he should bring his dog.
Yeah, Darla, yeah.
Darla and Ernie out. Hanging out.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be adorable. I'll ask him to see if we can make that happen.
Yes.
All right. Before we wrap up here, is there anything you'd like to say to your eager fans who I'm sure cannot wait to see this show? And believe me, you need to see this show.
I think you just covered it. Come to the show, and I think you'll be happy with it. If you've seen a show before, this is much bigger, much better than anything we've ever done. And if you've never seen us and you think spacesuits are lame, try our product. Give us a try.
Perfect.
I did want to ask one more thing. The name of the tour is the Immersion Tour Part 1. Can we infer a Part 2?
I think that can be inferred, indeed. It's always going to become more of an immersive project. Early on, we called the shows demonstrations for a reason, many reasons, demonstrating our philosophy, but also demonstrating the theatrical and narrative-driven components of what we do and making it more immersive than a general show. And we want the audience to touch and feel the Starset brand or experience to as great of a level as possible, and we're always building towards that.
All right. It is the Immersion Tour Part 1. The band is Starset. Ron, Dustin, guys, thank you so much for coming in. This was a blast.
Thanks for having us, Paul.
All right.
More episodes of Hard Drive DL at harddriveradio.com. Download the Hard Drive Radio mobile app and keep listening.